Open our Bible, shall we? In the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter number 6, please. Luke chapter 6. Gospel in chapter 6 and verse number 12. Luke 6 verse 12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his 12 disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Verse 17, "And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people, out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases." Verse 20, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee in the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy coat, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. But if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And they speak a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Why then, how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For if the tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather the grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And just a couple of verses elsewhere in Mark chapter 3, please. And down there at verse number 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And just a verse back as well, please, in the book of Genesis that we might make reference to a little later on. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let's just ask for God's help, shall we? Our Father, we just come into thy presence again. We thank thee for thy word. And we think of the very clear and plain words of the Lord Jesus here in Luke's Gospel. And we ask our Father that thou would give us grace as we just would read them and meditate upon them. We pray, Father, for help. Help from the same Spirit, our Father, which gave these words. Help us, our Father, in the same Spirit to understand these words. We pray for a blessing, our Father. We pray for thy help. We ask, our Father, that in all of our getting, we might get understanding. And in all of our knowledge and understanding, that we might, our Father, find Christ. We pray, our Father, for thy special help tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter number 6. I've turned my Bible back to that section. And I wanted just to think with you a little about that section this evening. It is really Luke's rendition of the Beatitudes. Usually when we speak about the Beatitudes, we go to Matthew chapter number 5. But I wanted to think about the teachings of the Lord Jesus here as Luke accounts them in Luke chapter number 6. Now, there is one thing I don't know about Luke 6. I don't know whether or not Luke's record here is the same or refers to the same event as Matthew's record in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to speak tonight a little bit about the differences. And it may well be that in fact the Lord Jesus is speaking here in Luke 6 on a different occasion from the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5. For you'll notice this, that Matthew chapter number 5 is written before the call of the disciples. And Luke chapter number 6 is set after the call of the disciples. And so it's quite possible that one of the reasons for the differences between Luke's account and Matthew's account is that these, in fact, are records of two different messages that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. We don't know, but we know there are distinctions. Luke chapter number 6, the setting there, just before we have the teaching that I think is so fundamental to discipleship, whether it's given before the disciples are called or whether it's given after, it's absolutely fundamental to what it means to be a disciple. And in Luke chapter 6, verse number 12, we have the calling of these 12 disciples to the Lord Jesus. Now, we read a little as well from Mark's account, and the reason I read from Mark's account was this, that in Mark's account we have really a little more detail as to why the Lord Jesus Christ called the disciples. And Mark chapter 3 tells us that these disciples were called first and foremost to himself. You have it in italics. In Luke chapter number 6, verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. It's in italics, unto him, but in Mark chapter number 3, it's absolutely clear that the Lord Jesus Christ calls the disciples to himself, that he might send them out to preach, and that there might be power that would follow in that preaching. So three things, a threefold purpose, if you like, that was to mark these disciples. They were to be called to his person. And then they were to go out to preach. And from that preaching, there was to be a mark of power. Now in Luke chapter number 6, we have the calling of those 12 disciples. You see, why did the Lord Jesus call these disciples? What was it that was so special about these disciples? Well, there is, of course, shrouded in everything that happens in Luke 6, and there is shrouded over everything that happens in God's purposes as far as salvation is concerned, there is a kind of darkness, there's a kind of mystery that surrounds it. But you'll notice there in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12 that ever before the Lord Jesus Christ will call these disciples, there's a night of prayer. It's a night of prayer that is shrouded in darkness, and it's between the Saviour, between the Lord Jesus Christ and his God. Verse number 12, he continues all night in prayer to God. One of those interesting statements that you find in the scriptures. It's almost what you might call a redundancy. He prayed to God. I've spoken in that once. He prayed to God. Were there any alternatives? Luke actually tells us there are alternatives. It's Luke who tells us about the parable. You'll remember of the tax collector and the Pharisee going there into the temple, and it's Luke who tells us that there are alternatives to praying to God, and the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. The Lord Jesus spends an evening in prayer. It's shrouded in darkness. And whatever it is that transpires between the Saviour and the Father, out of that evening of prayer, there is a choice that is made. Chosen in the inscrutable purposes of God, in the sovereign purposes of God. I don't know why. You don't know why you've been chosen either. But we know that we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And during that darkness that surrounded the mountain, as the Saviour is in intimate communion with his Father, a choice is made. And what is chosen in the darkness of Luke 6 and verse 12 is called in the daylight of verse number 13, and these disciples are called for a purpose. That purpose is unfolded for us in Luke chapter number 6. It is a purpose that sets them apart as distinct from the world round about them. And that is the burden, very simply, of my ministry tonight. This a great truth of separation and of distinctiveness and of distinction. The fact that the believer is alien in this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes down from the mountain. He descends into the plains. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 6. He's there with his disciples. He's there in the plain. And a picture, I think, being painted there that just brings my mind back to Genesis 18. In a day way long ago, when the Saviour himself, when the Lord himself comes down there into the plains of Mamre. And with him, there are two individuals that belong to a kingdom that is not of this world.
The Saviour descends there into the plains of Mamre, one referred to as Adonai in Genesis 18, one referred to as Jehovah, and there in communion with Jehovah, in communion with Adonai, Abraham has an interview with God. And in that plane, there are two individuals who are completely alien to the scene in which Abraham and Lot exist. A scene that is marked by the moral features of Sodom and Gomorrah. For you remember, that was why those angels came back there in Genesis 18. They had come to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they had come to bring in blessing and a child by of promise in the form of Isaac. And here in Luke 6, descending from the mountain, the Saviour descends with 12 of his own, and these 12, I want to suggest to you, are as much alien to this world as those two angels were who descended with the person of Christ way back there in Genesis 18. They don't belong here. They do not belong here. And the burden of the ministry of Luke chapter number 6 is precisely that you and I belong to a kingdom. Verse 20, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And this is tremendous kingdom teaching. We belong to a kingdom that is not of this world, and we are characterized and we are marked by features that set us apart as different and as alien. Verses 20 to 26, belonging. Belonging to the kingdom of God. You say, Stuart, that's all very well. You folks in the Gospel Hall have been preaching separation for years, and the trouble is that some of you have taken it to extremes. And instead of it becoming separation, it's becoming, well, something else. Well, verses 27 down to verses 36 tells us that whilst we belong to the kingdom, we're very much in the world. We're very much there. And the Saviour is not in denial of this. He's not pretending that somehow we isolate and insulate ourselves. And distinctiveness and separation is not isolation. And in verses 27 to 36, we see how those who belong to the kingdom operate in the world. And very simply, it brings blessing. That's what happens. You remember Joseph, we might read a few verses later on. Joseph belonged to something very different. He belonged to one of the 12. Isn't that interesting? He belonged to one of the 12, but he was down there in Egypt. And as he got sold for 20 pieces of silver down there in Egypt, somebody snapped him up into Potiphar's household. And what did it bring? Blessing. God bless him. Everything that Potiphar put under the hand of Joseph prospered. And so they sold him into the prison, didn't they? And the chief, the guard of the prison, put everything under his hand. And what happened? They prospered in the prison. And then they got rid of him out of the prison. Well, they got out of the prison. And they put him in charge of all of Egypt. And then what happened? The whole of Egypt prospered. He was very much not part of Egypt, though. You'd have to admit that. He was an alien to Egypt. And it became absolutely apparent once his father and his brethren turned up, and they were shepherds, and they were an abomination to the Egyptians, and they had to find him a wee bit out the road. You remember that? They're out the road, away from the rest of them, because you can't have folks like that hanging about Egypt. He was an alien. But he just brought blessing, because he belonged to the 12. And so, verses 20 to 26, we belong to the kingdom. But just in case you interpret it, as some people might interpret it, as a kind of instruction to be deliberately obstreperous, you will bring blessing. You will bring blessing amongst those that you move around. And then verses 37 down to 42, we move from belonging to blessing to blindness. To blindness. If you and I are going to be of help to one another, it is very important that we keep our eye clear. We keep our vision clear. Verse 39, for example, of Luke 6. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Verse 41, why behold the sound of mote that's in my brother's eye? You really want to help your brother, don't you? Well, is there anything productive you can do? Well, don't fault, fine. But what you can do that will be a real help to your brother is take that big plank of wood, take out that big joist that's sticking in your eye. So you've got to keep free from defilement. You belong to the kingdom. You're in the world, but not of the world. That means you're in a dangerous position. You're in the dangerous position of getting defiled, of getting scales in your eye from the dirt that's flowing about you. You need to keep clean. And if you can keep clean in that environment in which you are, you'll be a help. You will be a help and you will be a blessing.
So, where are we moving now? We belong to the kingdom. That's verses 20 to 26. We are in the world, but we can bring blessing where we are. We've got to watch out for blindness, verses 37 to 42. And we can bear fruit. We can bear fruit where we are. It's dirty where we are, but we can bear fruit, verses 43 to 45. And we bear fruit because we are different. It all comes back to that. This unique relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ means that you and I are different. We're not just an improvement upon the world, and we must never feel that we ought to assimilate into the world. It is because we are intrinsically different. Verse 44 of Luke 6. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. The unbeliever cannot be fruitful for God. It's not possible. The believer can be fruitful for God. And right away through this section, the Saviour is emphasising again and again and again that intrinsically the believer is different and must live different in this world. Fruitfulness and a foundation that is deep in the Lord Jesus. And the foundation that is deep in the Lord Jesus, verses 46 to 49, is not simply having a testimony that goes back 50 years. I when I was brought up down in Lancashire, we used to have a thing called a testimony meeting. I used to scratch my head at these testimony meetings. Because a testimony meeting seemed to have something to do with the Second World War. That's about as much as I could get out of it. Something to do with the Second World War. Somewhere between 1940 and 1960, something happened to people, and then after that it seems nothing much ever of any great significance ever happened thereafter. But you notice in Luke 6 and 46 and 47, verse 47 in particular, whosoever cometh to me, I hear his sayings and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Christian experience is not simply coming and hearing and making a profession, but it is the subsequent ongoing experience of Christ thereafter. So a testimony meeting ought to begin from today, and then you can work back every single day. And yesterday I had this experience of the Lord. And the day before, do you know what the Lord said to me? Do you know the verses I got last week? Do you know the difficulty I was going through? And the Lord helped me in this way. And do you know, I was really praying a fortnight ago when I came to the ministry meeting, and the preacher spoke on this, and he helped me there. And let me tell you about the difficulty I had last year. And the Lord was really real in that experience. And it all goes back to 1965. But that's when it started. But it's an ongoing experience. And once we miss that ongoing experience, the whole thing just shifts. That was how it began. That's why I read in Mark chapter number 3 that belonging into the kingdom, it begins with this threefold call to Christ. In Mark 3 verse 14, Mark puts it very clearly, I think. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses. There's the beginning of the kingdom experience. To be with him, personal experience. And then to serve him from that service, preaching, and from that power. But you notice the order. Presence with Christ. So they've come to me. That's our section ended, wasn't it, with the foundations. You've come to me. Presence. You've heard me. And now you're doing. The order is very important. That is the kingdom order. I come to him, presence with Christ.
and then any service, whether that be preaching or any other service, you've got your other scriptures for other service, the service particularly for the disciples is preaching, but we come to the Saviour, his presence, and then his preaching, and then his power. And if my service is defective, and if my usefulness in the kingdom is defective, and if my power in the kingdom is defective, and if I'm not being as useful as I ought to be, if I'm not being as fruitful as I ought to be, if I am not being as helpful to my brother as I ought to be, then I trace it back. It's presence with Christ, and then it's preaching, and then it's power.
If I don't have the power in whatever sphere of my Christian life, the question arises about his presence. What about the foundation, to use the pictures? Is it down there? What about the roots?
There are many reasons that I might serve Christ. Or there are many reasons that I might serve in the Christian life. There are many reasons I might be active in the kingdom. I could be active in a kind of spiritual way purely out of prejudice. Possible.
It's not possible, Stuart.
It is possible. Apostle Paul, you remember? He had a whole career before conversion as Saul of Tarsus. It was a kind of spiritual career. It was a preaching and teaching career. It was a career that enjoyed ministry from Gamaliel. It was a career that involved the expansion of the teachings of the Old Testament of the Scripture. It was a career that had even a position and a place religiously amongst men. He was looked up to. He had a reverend type of title. And yet it was all based purely in prejudice. What is prejudice? I think prejudice is conviction founded upon my beliefs. Yeah? Say again. Prejudice is conviction founded upon my beliefs. In other words, I am really confident about what I say because I believe it.
And there's nothing deeper than that.
This is what I believe. This is what I've been taught. This is what I've accepted. Therefore, I've got great confidence in it.
Christian service ought to be the other way around. It ought to be faith founded upon conviction. These are things that I have conviction about. These are things that I know because I've had experience of them. These are things that I have come to understand, and I have come to the conviction that this book is the inspired word of God. I've come to the conviction that in Christ God has fulfilled his promises and his prophecies. I've come to a conviction that I can depend upon the Lord Jesus on a day-to-day basis. I've come to the conviction that he speaks to me through his word. And on the basis of that conviction, I believe. And therefore I can share with others. But there can be a great danger that I just am really confident about the things I've accepted. And that is prejudice. Carried Paul on for a long time.
We can serve on the basis not only of prejudice but of principle. Be very wary of this. We can have good principles and great principles, high principles. Be wary of setting up a system. I often encourage my brethren to be wary of it. Be wary of setting up a system that is able to function even if there is no spiritual exercise amongst God's people. We can set up a system based upon principles. So even if nobody has any spiritual desire or exercise, everything will continue. That was the condemnation of Ephesus. Thou hast left thy first love. I think it was Mr. Jim Flanagan that said about Ephesus, everything went like clockwork at Ephesus. And that was the problem. It was mechanical and it was clockwork.
We can have rotas. I hate rotas. I don't know if you hear about rotas. I hate rotas. I really wish that the saints of God would have exercise rather than rotas. But we can rotify things.
I know it's trivial. Nobody wants to do the cleaning and all that. That's good enough.
But you know what I mean. You can set it up so that, well, you do it because you've got to do it. So don't do it. You've got to do it.
But there's nothing there for ordinance.
We can have rotas, we can book speakers, there are some, I don't mean don't book them, but, there are some, there can be amongst us, a rolling booking of speakers, As soon as you've got a platform, book for next year, same date next year, So we'll keep this going. We will keep this going. If it's the last thing we do, we will keep this going. Whether or not we have an exercise or not, doesn't matter. And you know that as you go, the only person that will have any exercise about anything is the person who's coming. Because everybody else just comes to sit.
Well, they've got a teacher coming. He'll come and do that then.
Certainly. We can employ people.
No, I'm not here.
But we can employ people. I was on a website that I, of a a preacher that I very much enjoy, actually, from America. He's a Baptist pastor. But I was noticing that, and part of their website, they have their staff. Their staff. Now, there are no staff in any of the churches in the New Testament. That is not church principle. We don't employ people. I'm not averse to anyone supporting someone in the full-time work of the Lord. But we don't employ people. Why? Because, here's one good reason. You can keep everything ticking along with your rota, with your bookings, and with your staff, even if everybody is spiritually dead. Sadly, that was the content of one of the last messages that the pastor preached. We're coming and we've got your messages, and you guys are coming, and there's thousands of you, but nobody's doing anything. And the whole thing's virtually dead. But we've got a set of principles, and it's impossible now for it to die, because we're going to keep it going. We've filled it like those corpses down in the anatomy department of Glasgow University. They filled them with formaldehyde, and they never rot. Never. We'll keep it going, even though it's dead. Be wary of that. The Lord does not exhort us here to serve out of prejudice, nor out of principle, nor even out of passion. Somebody gave me a CD during the week, CD of a guy called Jack, I wrote his name down. What was his name now? Jack Deere, you'd forget his name. Jack Deere, I don't know if you've heard of Jack Deere. Anyway, Jack Deere is a charismatic, full-blown charismatic. He was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he got fired. Jack Deere has a real passion for prophecy, and this CD was all about Jack Deere's teaching on prophecy and how the believer today ought to actively seek the prophetic gift. 45 minutes he went on. He was very persuasive, he was very interesting, and he even managed to exploit some of the covenanters. I was asked at the end of it, what do you think about it? I said, very interesting. I said, I'm very persuasive, and he's a good speaker. And he believed it. He definitely believes it, that prophecy and the prophets are for today. God has prophets amongst us today. That was his message. I said, but I did notice this, that during the 45 minutes in which Mr. Deere spoke, he did not open the Word of God. Nor did he read the Word of God. Nor did he expound the Word of God. Oh, said my friend, I never noticed that. We can have a great passion, but there is always a danger, isn't there, of becoming like the dear people of God of old that the Apostle Paul spoke about, how he loved his native people. They had a zeal for God, but it wasn't after knowledge. It wasn't after knowledge. We can have a great passion for things, but it may not just be connected to Christ. Possible to serve him out of passion, possible to serve him
out of prejudice possible, to serve him on the basis of principles, good principles, great principles, but dead principles. In Luke 6 and in Mark chapter 3, as the Saviour calls us to live for him in this world, we serve him with power, and we serve him with power that comes from his presence, from his experience. He calls us to himself. He sends us out to serve, and in the power of his presence we serve. And when we begin to lack power, might I just encourage our hearts tonight to look for no other source than him. Not in any principles that we might have, and not in anything that we might think would just kind of bolster up the system a wee bit. Not for somebody that we can bring in, or some new thing we can bring in. It's him. We must get back to him. That's the teaching of this great section in the kingdom. It's how the time your port must be. You must have two batteries in that somewhere. Anyway, what were we going to say? Well, I think we've maybe just got a few minutes to speak about maybe just the first little section there. Verses 20 to 26, about belonging in the kingdom, belonging in the kingdom. You notice that as you and I belong to Christ and we belong to something that is alien to this world, you'll notice that the Saviour really emphasises the difference, the great difference and distinctiveness of the believer. You notice verse 20 that this kingdom to which we belong works according to a different set of economics. It's different economically. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. You notice that as believers we have a different, a distinctive food supply. Verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. You'll notice that we have a distinctive and different source of joy. Verse 21, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And you notice that we have different spheres of belonging. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. There's a distinctiveness. Distinctiveness in the economic principles, for in this kingdom that we belong to lose is to gain. Verse 20. Poverty is enrichment. Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. We have a different supply of food, for in this system, in this kingdom, to be empty is to be full. Verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. In this system, to weep is to rejoice. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And in this system, to be rejected is to be received. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they'll separate you, they'll reproach you, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. You see that the writer, the Spirit of God, turns our system, our world system, in its head, because we belong to something completely different. So different is the thing that we belong to that Luke can speak in verse 20 about the riches of poverty. The riches of poverty. That is, the less that I can have, and the less that I can invest, and the less that I can depend upon in this world, the more that I have. That's something I apply to my overtime. Something I apply to the use of my hours, to my days, to the investment of money. The less I can make do with, and that'll be different for us all, I appreciate that. And I'm enjoying that. The less that we can make do with, the more that we have. Now that's not how we think out there, isn't it? That's not the more that you can get and the more you can grasp, the better. But no. You're going to have to turn that principle on its head if you're going to think the thoughts of Christ. The riches of poverty. The less I can get by with, the richer I am. The satisfaction of hunger. Verse 21. The less I can feed on this world, the less this world satisfies me, the less that I get in of its news, the less I get in of its information, the less that I get in of its entertainment, the less I get in of its value system and its magazines and its materialism and its
and it's all of its priorities, its sexual priorities, its financial priorities. The less I can feed and the more hungry I can feel in the earth, the fuller I am.
The fullness of hunger. The joy of sorrow. We can talk about that.
Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. The more I feel alienated and disheartened and rejected and disappointed with this world, the more I am being drawn to Him.
Sometimes I don't realise until I finally find Him at all. And I realise that those tears and that sorrow were worth it. Just to find that joy in Him and in Him alone.
He can speak about the rejoicing of rejection. Verses 22 and 23.
One final thought, and our time really has gone. The reason I picked out Luke 6, I've spoken on the Beatitudes before, maybe even with yourselves, but I've always spoken on them from Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is a more complete account. But Luke chapter 6 is very different. Luke has a very different way of dealing with these Beatitudes, which is maybe just part of the reason that I think that maybe Luke is giving us an account of a different message the Lord preached. When you come to Matthew 5 and the Lord speaks about these Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, you will notice that Matthew speaks in the third person. Blessed are they, no more. Matthew speaks in the third person. Blessed are they. I can read down through Matthew's account and I can nod.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Luke won't let me nod. Because Luke changes it, or he records it from a different time, as the second person.
Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom.
Blessed are ye that hunger, for ye shall be filled. This is me and you, says the Lord. You can nod your head that it is in mourning that people find the Lord. You can nod your head that blessed are they that are when men despise you and so forth. You can nod that. Isn't it terrible in China what they're doing in China? That's not Luke chapter 6 isn't about China. About me. It's about the choice that I make to go in for His kingdom, to have a little less of this world that I might have more. To know that richness, that richness of poverty, to know that fullness of hunger, that choice that I make to find my joy in Him. And Luke does something extra. Having told us about the blessing, and having told us that this kingdom is distinct, and it's different, and it's a contrasting kingdom, he also moves on to tell us that this kingdom, which contrasts with the world, is also a kingdom that contradicts it. And I make a choice. Because the blessings are in the first half, and then Luke does something Matthew doesn't. Woe. Woe. Woe to you that are rich. If you make the wrong decision, you're going to miss out here. If you make that decision to have a bit extra, then in making that decision to have a bit extra, you are having a bit less. Woe unto you that are full. In making that decision to find your entertainment, your enjoyment in the world, you are making a decision to close your Bible and put it up on the shelf because you've got a DVD on. You're making that decision. Woe. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. In making that decision to be Mr. Popular at work and just to go with the flow, I just sign the forum or whatever, then you are actually missing it. You're not being Mr. Popular at all. You're bringing a war upon yourself. Luke comes with that. Matthew doesn't he? And it is Matthew who tells me that as the Lord speaks these Beatitudes, he opens his mouth. Luke tells me in verse 20 of Luke 6, he lifts up. In Matthew 5, Christ speaks the Beatitudes. In Luke 6, Christ searches Beatitude. He looks up his eyes. His eyes are looking down. And he lifts them up. And he looks at his disciples. And he speaks to them. You. You're part of my kingdom. You're not part of that kingdom. And I want you to live for it. And every decision you make
is either an investment in my kingdom, or it is an investment in that kingdom. And if you invest in that one, you lose out in mine. Boom in mine is bust in theirs. Bust in theirs is boom in mine. You make that decision. By the way down to Luke 6.
Let's pray. Father, we come before thee. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the clarity of the teachings of the Lord Jesus, the challenge of living for thee. We know, Father, it's difficult to live for thee in a world that's against thee, a world that hates the Saviour as much as it hated the Saviour back there in the days in which they crucified him. We ask, our Father, that thou would empower us to take up our cross daily and to follow thee. Help us, our Father, not to find our resources here. Help us, our Father, to avoid finding security here, to investing our time and our energy and our talents here. Empower us, our Father, not to feed on what this world gives us, to be bold, to be different and have a different set of values, and to live, our Father, founded upon the Saviour. We pray that thou would bless us, and we ask, our Father, that thou would really empower us to be close to the Saviour day by day, and that with his presence in our service there might be that which marks it as powerful. We pray, our Father, that in our lives and in our service, in our gatherings, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. We offer thanks, our Father, for this time together. In Jesus' name.